Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. As we continue our sermon today, we're going to be looking at Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 22 and 23. We're going to talk about contradicting God, and we're going to talk about it in relation to religion and worship, which are highlighted in these two verses in the 17th chapter of Acts. I'm going to read from both the King James translation as well as the New American Standard Bible. First, the King James translation. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And then the New American Standard Bible reads, "So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, To an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." So once again, we're looking at this in relation to contradicting God. How is this a contradiction to God? Why is this a contradiction to God? And I'm also addressing it not just in relation to the world, but also in relation to the church. For those of us who say that we are called by the name of the Lord, and if this is actually worked out, if this is actually revealed in our religion and our worship, which go hand in hand. So as we consider religion and worship in relation to contradicting God, we have to understand the relationship between religion and worship. And that is our religion, or what we believe, is revealed or expressed in our devotion or our worship. That is what it is or who it is that we are devoted to, and how we express that devotion in relation to our religion. So religion and worship go hand in hand. Our worship is an expression of our religion, or what we believe, and our religion is the basis for our worship. So we take our beliefs and we express our beliefs in worship. And when we consider what is expressed here in these two verses of scripture, we deal with this extreme approach to religion, this again, chaotic religious scene, which to many may be, particularly in our time, it may be accepted as the right way to approach religion. And it may be the right way to approach religion, but it's not the right way to approach God. It's the wrong way to approach God. And that is to be extremely religious, to be very religious in all respects, or to be too superstitious. That is the catch-all religion. That is the expression that is not singularly focused on the one true living God, but is focused on covering down on every aspect of religion and satisfying every belief system in order to feel like we have everything covered. And it is therefore revealed or expressed in our worship. So if we're not singularly focused in our religion, we certainly will not be singularly focused in our worship. And that's why we get in relation to the religion that is being demonstrated here in this 17th chapter of Acts in verse 22. That's why we get, if you have chaotic religion, you're going to have chaotic worship. If you have chaotic worship, it's going to be because you have chaotic religion. You know, we need to take heed to what our teachers would tell us back in the day, and that is settle down. Settle down. You over there, settle down. You back there, settle down. And that's what we need to do as it relates to our religion and our worship. We need to settle down. We are taking this contemporary approach, if you will, where now we don't have any true conviction, but we have this approach to religion wherein our aim is to please everybody but God, to pursue harmony with everybody but God. You know, the coexistence in the name of religion is contradicting God. It's contradicting God. This is an opposition to God. The church in the name itself means to be called out, a called out assembly. And so if this is the way that the world marches, it's no surprise. But when we look at the people of God, we are not called to religious chaos. We are not called to follow the mood of the religious catch-all or the catch-all religion or this new spirituality. We are called to be singularly devoted, to have pure religion, to worship the true and only God. Otherwise, we're contradicting God. So as we continue to sort of unravel what is taking place here, we have to, I have to re-engage you by asking this question, you know, what are you doing with all that religion you got? What good is it doing you if it does not have the power of salvation? It's only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. This mindset that persuades you that the more religion you have, the better, is a lie straight from the devil. And as they say, it smells like smoke. It's not true. It is a lie. It is contradicting God. And then as it is expressed in your catch-all worship. It is expressed in your inability to settle down. It's expressed in your inability to provide yourself with any spiritual rest, because salvation is not found just in religion or spirituality alone. You've got to have the right kind. And the right kind is only found in the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who himself alone is the way, the truth, and the life. So what do we do with all of this religion? What do we do in the midst of religious chaos? What do we do when so many now are marching to the beat of spirituality without direction? How do we find our way? How do we navigate through this, both in our approach to the world and our approach to the church? Well, neither can be understood apart from our relationship with God. Who is he? What does he require? God is the standard for all religion and worship, because true religion and worship can only be understood in relation to God himself. Who he is, what he requires, what he says. A.W. Tozer said when speaking about worship that worship reflects what and how we think about God. And it truly does. And if worship reflects what and how we think about God, then this is directly tied to our religion, our beliefs, because worship is that expression of what we believe. So we've got to understand religion and worship in relation to God. So as we speak of religion, it can't provide any salvation, and religion that causes so many to go to extreme lengths, to take extreme measures, only to find out that you're just as empty as you were when you started. When we consider this, you know, the call is to settle down, to stop contradicting God, stop opposing God by creating your own religious bag. your own bag of beliefs, your own bag of spirituality, wherein you satisfy yourself, but you're not satisfying God. That's what worship is. Worship is serving God. Worship is satisfying or doing that which is pleasing to God. It's service. And that service cannot be true if our belief or our religion is not true. We're overwhelmed by religious mumbo jumbo. At every turn, there's some new religion. Just like it was here in Athens, there's something new at every turn. And the world is not necessarily bringing this all about. Much of it is coming from within the church. These new belief systems, this new thought that the church has to be more like the culture. So rather than being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, rather than being transformed by the renewing of our mind and not being conformed to the world, we find ourselves conforming to the culture and imitating the culture, and therefore the church has become nothing more than a sanctified version of worldliness. And so our devotion and our influence is no longer offensive to the culture because we look just like them. We act just like them. We worship just like them. We're contradicting God. We're going against what God says and what he requires. So as we look at what is addressed here is the ignorance involved in worship, because there's ignorance involved in a religion. You're too religious. You're very religious in all respects. You got too much going on, and therefore your worship is indicative of that. And so when we look at your devotion, it's ignorant. You're without understanding. You're without knowledge. You lack information. There is no intelligence to your worship. You understand? And people think that worship is supposed to be a free-for-all, and you do it the way you do it, and I do it the way that I do it. And that, again, is where we are very guilty as the church, because we confuse people when they come in, as Paul addressed in his letter to the Corinthians, when he spoke of everybody having a psalm, or everybody having, you know, prophesying and speaking in tongues and so much going on that is just confusing. And oftentimes we are more confusing than the world is. We send more mixed signals than the world does. We're contradicting God. We're not settled down. We're not singularly devoted, and our worship lacks intelligence. Oftentimes, we feel like worship means do it the way that you want to do it and how you feel and whatever your expression is, and that's not truly worship. Worship is according to what God requires. That's why the scripture tells us God is not the author of confusion. It also says that everything be done decently and in order. But none of it matters, even if you have what is observed to be neatly packaged and organized with great structure in terms of religion and worship. And that's oftentimes what draws so many people into cults, into false religions. Even if you have that, it doesn't necessarily demonstrate true worship, because you're not worshiping the true God, because your belief about the true God is distorted and it lacks intelligence. You are ignorant. This is not based on your worldly achievements or your education. This is we're talking about a spiritual condition. And that's another thing that draws so many people into false religion, is that it esteems man to such a high degree that it preys on fleshly desires. It draws people away because of their lust to be recognized and to have these conversations that sound deep and profound. And you know what the Word of God says? No, that is ignorant and it lacks knowledge and intelligence, and therefore you are ignorant and lack knowledge and intelligence because you do not know the true God, and therefore you cannot worship the true God because you don't know him. You know, worship is tied to the respect and submission that we have to the object of our worship. And that's what we find here when we consider that the religion and worship that's communicated here. We find in verse 23, the unknown God. And this altar to the unknown God, this is the altar of their devotion. This demonstrates what or who they adore, but they're doing it ignorantly because they say the God who they are worshiping is unknown. This lacks sobriety. It lacks sobriety. The Lord speaks of himself, and he introduces himself. For example, in the beginning, God. This is the introduction for us, not that he just came into being, but that he is, he was, he always will be. And yet, we are introduced from the very beginning in terms of our understanding, in the beginning, God. Right there, you're at the crossroads of finding out or determining whether you believe just the introduction as it relates to the scripture. And many people can't move past this. And that's what I love about Pastor E.V. Hill when he said the first thing that he settles with people where he pastored is the isness of God. In the beginning, God. God is. God says of himself, I am. And therefore, we know that Jesus Christ himself is God because he says, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So we look at our view of God and how we are called to respect and submit to him. And oftentimes we fail to do this because we don't know him and we don't settle the business that is understanding, knowing, being informed about God. And he's given us this understanding in his handiwork. He's given us the manifestation of his greatness. Certainly, we don't have the fullness. He dwells in the unapproachable light, but we have the manifestation of his greatness, and we're going to speak more to that. So I'm going to try not to get ahead in that regard when we move on through verse 24. So as we look at this in the worship, and what worship entails is respecting and submitting to the object of our worship. And this, again, makes no sense if the object of your worship cannot produce anything above you or where you are. Why worship a man when that man has the same problems that you have? God has not called us to that. You say, well, Jesus, people worship Jesus. Well, let me tell you that. He is a man, but he is God. He is God who became man, rather than a man who thinks of himself as God. And so we worship him because he's worthy because of who he is in truth. He is the manifestation of God in the flesh. But we have here the religion and the worship bowing down, respecting, submitting to something that can't give you anything. You look at all the things we worship, the people we worship, and you think about what can they give me? What can they do for me beyond this life or even in this life? The same thing regarding the superiority or the importance of the object of our worship. Who is higher than God himself? Why should we lean or depend on anyone or anything that cannot save us or produce in us any more than we can do ourselves? That's why it's such a contradiction when we think of people who talk about how they're going to help God out in some ways, or how they're going to get their lives together, or how they're seeing themselves through. Even when they speak about being believers, God hasn't called us to be self-sufficient and independent. And our worship is related to our view of God. If we say that we are the people of God, then we are called to be obedient. We have an obligation to God. And this obligation is also tied to worship. Worship is an obligation for the believer. And oftentimes we take this indefinite vacay, which again is quite convenient for us, but we say in our religion, we say that we believe in God, which doesn't say a whole lot, to be honest with you. The question is, what do you believe about God, and do you respond to God in worship? That is submission, adoration, and obedience or obligation. We have an obligation to worship. And this worship cannot be ignorant. If it's ignorant, if it lacks understanding and knowledge in terms of who we're worshiping and why we are worshiping him, then that is a problem, because we're contradicting God. We have so much that is given to us as it relates to religion and worship in Scripture. We look, for example, in Exodus chapter 20, when God delivers the children of Israel and he gives them his law. Now, this is a truth in relation to God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So what do we have here? What do we have spelled out? We have the relationship between God and his people that is demonstrated in worship. Let me say that again. We have the relationship between God and his people that is demonstrated in worship. So where's the contradiction? The contradiction for us is when you say you belong to God and you do not worship him. Worship is service. And we think of worship, we say worship service. That's actually redundant, because worship is service. And this is what he has called us to: submission to him, adoration for him, our obligation to him, our obedience. Our act of service is demonstrated or communicated in Romans chapter 12. And God identifies himself as the Lord thy God here in Exodus chapter 20. I'm your God, and I am the Lord who is your God. And he reminds them of what he's done for them. You understand this? This is what I've done for you. And so your obligation is to me because of what I've done for you. And not just what I've done for you. Before he says that, he says, because of who I am. Because of who I am, because of what I've done. You have an obligation to me. What's your first obligation? You have no other gods before me. You've got to recognize who I am. And you are to put nobody else in my place. You understand that, don't you? Then how are we contradicting God? We're putting everything before him. We're not even acknowledging who he is. That's what devotion and worship entails. Acknowledging who he is. Adoring him. Being devoted to him. Submitting to him. Bragging on him. And then he speaks of images. You're not to make any images in Exodus 20, verse 4. No graven images. And this is what was going on here in Athens. And again, God is saying this to his people who know better. But it is a truth for all people. And that's why I talk about contradicting God. The world contradicts God, and we expect the world to travel that road. But when the church contradicts God, that is a more impactful contradiction, because we are called to address the contradiction of the world. And yet we have ourselves, or we find ourselves contradicting God in the same way, or maybe even worse than the world is, or more than the world is. And then here's what the Lord says in verse 5, Exodus chapter 20, concerning worship: thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor what? Nor serve them. And that's what it means to bow down and to serve. That is to worship. No other gods. Don't make any images of any gods for you to bow down or serve. Why not? Because the Lord our God is a jealous God. And people frown upon that. Well, who does he think he is? Well, he's God. He's not just God. He is the Lord our God. And therefore, he's a jealous God. So the contradiction, we contradict God when we give our affections, when we bow down and serve any other God, small g. And we refuse to bow down and serve the Lord our God. And how does he identify himself? He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. So this is how far-reaching sin and disobedience is. That contradiction, your contradiction is just not yours. It's your contradiction that is perpetuated throughout generations. Bad religion begets bad religion. And it is expressed in bad worship, ignorant worship, worship without intelligence. And we pass that on to our kids. We pass that on to other generations. So they have the same view of God, which is distorted, that we have. And when I say we, I'm speaking of those who have bad religion, too much religion, the spirituality. So now that is being communicated to the children. And the children, again, to contradict God is to oppose him. To oppose him is to hate him. To do that which is contrary to him and what he requires, what pleases him. And he says in verse 6 in Exodus chapter 20, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What goes with this worship? Love expressed in that adoration, and who keep his commandments. That's the obligation. The obligation is obedience to him. That's what worship is. It's an expression of our love for and obedience to God. Or whatever or whoever it is that we serve. In this case, we are warned as his people, that being the church. And now we take this message to the world. But what's happening is the world now, instead of the church influencing the world is influencing the church. And so now we find ourselves, again, imitating culture. Imitating culture and calling it worship. Accommodating culture and calling it worship. Perpetuating culture and calling it worship. In every way, we are selling out and we are contradicting God, because we are opposing him rather than obeying him. Our religion and our worship are a contradiction to the living God. We'll stop there today, but until the next time, Lord willing, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.